Chenche is not able to come to the meeting because of some administrative duties at NTU that he just could not escape. So he asked me to attempt to give his talk. Keep going all the way. You're sort of in the back. But there are several points that Chenche felt was important to make the ITOP community aware, and I'll try to convey those. One more. There you go. Thanks. And so I'll try to convey those. I cannot convey them to the level of detail that Chenche would, but hopefully the points will be made clear and you'll be able to see the work that he's doing in support of ITOP and typhoon activity in Taiwan, and products that will be made available to this community that I think may address some of the issues that have been raised over the past day or so about various analyses. But one point to be made is that Chenche and his group have worked to provide an analysis of assimilating all the ITOP data, the aircraft data, and radiosonde data, satellite, cloud track wind data for the entire ITOP period, and we'll talk a little bit about that and show some examples. This is based on his ensemble common filter system that he's been working with for several years now, starting back with TCS-08 cases. So he's applied that to the entire ITOP period, and he's then applied special techniques and special analysis for certain periods of ITOP when the Dot Star and the C-130 were flying concurrently. And so that's the other point that he would like to make, is that the ability of the two aircraft to fly with Dot Star flying on the periphery of the storm at upper levels and the C-130 flying in the core of the storm and providing high-level observations of the storm intensity in radial directions is allowing his system and the unique characteristics that he uses to assimilate nice data sets to apply the ensemble common filter at high resolution. Okay, so this may not work with them. So this is just a generic ITOP slide that I think he used in his other presentation, but we could probably slide past this one, but it just shows, there's the famous photography that both Chenche and Pete in the jail in Guam. But we'll skip that. Here's Chenche and Nakazawa-san and Jeff and Pete in the ITOP Center on Guam. And so he's just giving some background to the ITOP thing, but we can go on to the next one here. So this is the analysis system that they put together, and you can see it runs from 18th of August to the 25th of October for the ITOP period. It's an ensemble-based data assimilation system, so he's using 45 ensemble members to do the error covariances or the one domain at 54 kilometer resolution. So it's rather coarse, but it covers the entire period, and it's meant to be used as background fields for various studies that can be done at a higher resolution, and that's exactly what he's done, and we'll look at some of that. So coarse resolution at 54 kilometers. The initial conditions are generated by the NSEP FNL analysis. This is the final analysis system that's produced at NSEP operationally every 6 hours. Boundary conditions also come from the FNL from NSEP. Uses a 6 hour cycling system, so update cycle for the generation of the analyses. And he's re-assimilating the operational radiosonde data, the aircraft drop sonde data from both C-130s when they're available, Dot Star when they're available, all the surface station data, cloud motion vectors, and then flight level aircraft reports. And so that is then used to construct the entire 2 month analysis period. So this is the example of that. These are the tracks of all the storms during the actual field phase of ITOP with Megi, Malacas, Phanape, Malau, and Kampasu, plus a couple other storms that sort of bracketed the ITOP period. And so what he's showing here are the black lines are the JMA best track, the 6 hour forecast tracks that are used within this update cycle, and then the final analysis tracks are in red. So the point here is that the analyzed systems or the analyzed tracks for these are rather accurate in representing the motions of the storms. So this analysis system could be used for that purpose. Okay, so the next point to be made is the special application of the system during periods when the C-130 and the Dockstar were flying concurrently. So he's looking at Phanapi here, and there are three instances here. On the 0Z on the 16th, this is the Dockstar track, and this is Phanapi as it's approaching. It's just about to make this curve here. This is the track, the flight's on the 17th, so you can see the track of the Dockstar sort of and surrounding this outer part of the storm, and then the C-130 track sort of doing a rotated alpha pattern. And then the last flight, 0Z on the 18th, where again there's a sort of this multifaceted path of the Dockstar in the circumference of the storm. And then the C-130 was doing a detailed butterfly pattern over the storm inside the track of the Dockstar. And so these are the data that he's going to use in a specialized application. This is just the track of Phanapi from the JTWC forecast business. And so he'll use these data to then apply his analysis system in a higher resolution. So this is the timeline of the application of the ensemble analysis system and forecast system then for Typhoon Phanapi based on looking at the control, the analyzed part. And so for these specialized assimilations, he's now augmenting the 54-kilometer outer domain with two inner domains, two storm-following inner domains, one at 18 kilometers and then another at 3 kilometers. So these periods, these tick marks here, are the periods of the aircraft operations. So in this time, there's a one-hour cycling. So what is done here, Chunche and his group at NTU have sort of come up with a system that they've applied at several case studies where they assimilate not only the data, but they assimilate tropical cyclone characteristics. They assimilate a one-hour position of the storm center. They assimilate a storm motion vector based on past motion. And then in these special cases, they can assimilate a radial azimuthal tangential wind profile. And so their experiments have shown in the past that assimilating these three extra tropical cyclone characteristics really provide nice analysis characteristics and forecast characteristics. And so they're applying that to these simulations for Typhoon Phanapi. And so because of they get a 1 hour track, they can have a 1 hour cycling. So they can update the assimilation system every hour based on the movement of the storm and the storm motion vector. When the aircraft is not flying, I believe they use a radial wind profile that's sort of based on the Hugh Willoughby model in the late 90s. And when the aircraft was flying, then they have an azimuthal mean 700 hectopascal tangential wind profile from the C-130. So again, this is emphasizing the impact of being able to fly one aircraft in the storm environment and obtain these azimuthal wind profiles, and another aircraft in the outer storm environment to get the environmental characteristics. So they work through on the assimilation cycle. This timeline just shows where they start the initialization ahead of time, 24 hours ahead of time, and then begin to assimilate the data and then produce the forecast out in time. So these are, this is an example of all the data that are assimilated into the system. All this green mass here are cloud motion vectors. And then the aircraft data are in here. This is a blow up of the aircraft operations period. The C-130 data are shown in the orange. The Dockstar data are shown in the circles in the blue. Different symbols for the different flights. But so we're starting out here with the square spiral pattern that was done first, and then the various alpha patterns and butterfly patterns that were done by the C-130. And this red line is the actual track of Phanapi through the data network as the storms were being flown. They're also assimilating surface, upstream surface observations and aircraft reports over upstream over eastern China. And now there are three consecutive flights, so three consecutive simulation cycles. And these are outputs sort of characterizing each one. On the right is the flight tracks, the C-130 in red with the alpha pattern, the Dockstar in black, superimposed on a microwave image. And these are the outputs of the simulation system and representing the storm characteristics. This is wind speed on the y-axis and radial length in kilometers on the x-axis. So these are tangential radial averages of various characteristics. That's kind of too hard to see, but just concentrate. You want to concentrate on the mean 700 hectopascal wind profile. So sort of this nice weak profile as the storm was still just a tropical storm strength in here. So in the second flight, change in the wind profile to increase the intensity, the typhoon intensity, with the outer profile extending up to 120 kilometers. And again, these are all, this green is central pressure and so on. The JTWC are located by the symbols that you can see there. And then the last one is then at typhoon, the category 2 or 3 intensity, and the analyzed profile compared to the other data metrics there. So, then he applied at 18 for the final flight. He did a specialized analysis at 2 kilometers. And so there's a fourth domain that's added that is encompasses Taiwan as the storm approaches. So it uses the outer domains. It incorporates the fourth domain that covers the island of Taiwan. And then we'll now use it. So he'll have a simulation here. The 1802 is the higher resolution simulation system for the LASSO. And so these are different tracks from the ensemble members and the ensemble mean. The 1704 is the first set that was done, and then the 1802 is the higher resolution set that was done. And he's showing the ensemble swaths and then the ensemble mean. And what he wants to point out is that while both are quite accurate, the 1704 simulation moves a bit slower. It's a little similar to what Chu Ping showed at COAMS, that the storm movement is a bit slower during 1704 than the observed track. But the 18, the higher resolution one, using the sort of the accumulation of all the three flights, moves quite accurately. And just in terms of the metrics of the forecast track, intensity errors and track errors. The control is the black line that then turns to blue and when it's the 1802, and amber sort of when it's the 1704. You can see that the simulation at 1704 is a bit slower. This is the best track observed from JMA, and then these are the track errors that show, again, this is a long track error being too slow. The radar reflectivity, just to show how they represent the structures of the storm. And what he wants to stress, this is the ongoing work of Chen Che and his group, and what they're going to be working on with related to ITOP, expanding their simulations of air-sea interactions in the typhoon environment, more coupled model simulation, looking at simulations of the cold wave, how it formed, it was sustained and decayed, and how it feeds back on the storm intensity. And then they are also going to initiate new work that involves the interaction of Taiwan, the terrain of Taiwan with rainfall, and that's using this inner domain that was our first experiment with this 1802, where they put a 2 kilometer domain mesh right over the island of Taiwan. So. I know he's talked about those. I don't know what he said last week. But I know he has that capability.
Yeah.
Well, this is great to get us all together, even though he's not here. I think it would be wonderful, the opportunity to incorporate the surface observations from the pictures that were deployed at that point. That was right at the period when we had the highest intensity. Over a 2-day period, you have about a 200 kilometer swath, both sides of the track, surface air pressure and wind speed.
Right.
And to see what the impact would be on a forecast,
yeah.
So to take those really high density swath, basically, swath observations, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a wonderful idea. I'll make sure that gets passed on.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up for John. I think that, you know, Chen Che could assess, say, for example, the relative impacts of SFMR versus the buoys, floats, and then they'll look at what the combined effect of those.
Yeah.
You know, what's the impact of those surface observations,
right,
in addition to the flight level?
Yeah, he and his group And they've done that with the TCSO8 data because they've used that the simulation to show differences in the dot star versus C130, where they've done experiments where they withheld C130, put in dot star, withheld dot star, use C130. So they've done that, so they have this, they can do that, those types of sensitivity.
Okay, thanks, Pat. And Jeff, you next. Here is Shui Chen.